From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. At the International AIDS Conference in Bangkok today, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan had harsh words for the U.S. and its efforts to fight against AIDS.
We hear a lot about terrorism, and we are worried about weapons of mass destruction because of the potential to kill thousands. Here we have an epidemic that is killing millions. What is the response? When you consider the amount of money we put into the fight against terrorism, the fight to contain weapons of mass destruction, because we want to protect people, and here we know it, we read about it, we see it around us, where is international solidarity?
Kofi Annan speaking today at the International AIDS Conference.
According to the UN, AIDS killed more than 2 million people in sub-Saharan Africa last year, and Southern Africa continues to be the epicenter of the pandemic. NPR's Jason Beaubien has this report.
In the South African province of KwaZulu-Natal, steep green hills tumble towards the Indian Ocean. The hills are dotted with small plots of corn, banana trees, and round thatched houses called rondavels. Inside many of these simple huts, people are dying.
We're standing in one of the worst areas of KwaZulu-Natal, where over one in three adult women are HIV positive.
David Harrison grew up in these hills as a child of white missionaries. Now he runs Love Life, a national campaign to prevent HIV transmission.
The impact of the disease, the mortality, the deaths are very frequent, very tangible in a community like this.
To illustrate his point, Harrison walks down the hill to the beige rondavel of Sebenzila Sele. A scraggly yellow puppy stands guard on the footpath approaching the hut. Sele lives in the single, dirt-floored room with her daughter, Nokolunga. Both of them have AIDS. Sele is 42 years old, but looks like she's 70. Nokolunga is 7, but has HIV-related dementia and coos like a baby. Zanelli, a volunteer from a local charity, says that as Sele grows weaker, her biggest problem has been getting food and water. Sele has an older daughter who's 19, but Zanelli says she's of little help.
The oldest children is very, very lazy. Do not fetch the water and the river.
It's a half-hour trip each day for Sele and her daughter to collect water from the river, and Sele doesn't know how much longer she'll have the strength to make it. South Africa has started to offer free AIDS drugs through its public health care system, but they aren't available here yet. Harrison, with Love Life, says without the drug, Sele and Nokolunga probably won't survive more than another 6 or 8 months. With the pragmatic detachment of someone who's seen too many people die of AIDS, he says he hopes the daughter dies first so she doesn't have to spend her last days alone. Scenes similar to this are unfolding across the continent. 2 decades into the epidemic, the number of people infected with HIV in Africa continues to grow. Mark Sterling, the regional director of UNAIDS, says the disease is having devastating effects on development and communities.
In many, many cases, the capacities at the family level, the community level, has been overstretched. And we're seeing kids dropping out of school, increasing malnutrition rates, increasing sickness, and of course, with all of that, increased vulnerability to HIV infection.
And AIDS is also eating away at one of Africa's most valuable and limited resources, the educated middle class. Teachers, nurses, and civil servants are being lost from the workforce. In Zambia, AIDS is overwhelming the healthcare system, while at the same time it's killing off healthcare workers. Rosemary Msonda, the head of the National HIV/AIDS Council, says in addition, many nurses are leaving for the United Kingdom.
In Zambia, we are talking of more than 65% of cases in the medical wards due to HIV infections, and it is very depressing. In fact, they get burnout. Every day you have got so many deaths, and then you can't do anything.
Msonda says nurses also go to Britain because if they get sick, they can get life-extending AIDS drugs, something they can't be sure of in Zambia. To the west of Zambia, Angola faces its own unique challenges. The former Portuguese colony is attempting to overcome 3 decades of civil war and currently has more landmines than people. Millions of people fled into the capital, Luanda, during the war, creating huge slums and exhausting the local water supplies. Now, with the conflict apparently behind it, Angola faces another deadly scourge. Behind one of Luanda's largest hospitals, 35 people sit in plastic chairs under a cashew nut tree. This support group is a chance for them to talk about the difficulties of being HIV positive in a place like Luanda. Compared to other countries in the region, Angola's HIV rate is relatively low at 4%, But this still means that hundreds of thousands of Angolans are carrying the virus and could develop AIDS in the coming years.
Minha mãe, todas mães negras da África, cujos filhos já partiram lá para Santo Tomé.
André Francisco and his friend Constantino Afonso have brought their guitars. They sing about the daily toil of living in Luanda's slums, where there's no electricity, no toilets, no running water. But the song is also a song about hope. Hope that the new generation of Angolans will overcome all this, and AIDS too. Jason Beaubien, NPR News.
There are more stories about the International AIDS Conference in Bangkok, along with photos and statistics, at our website, npr.org.
Não chega nem água.